The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Rolien Marx, a very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, guys. Well, what a day. We do have a major news update coming in this afternoon. If you want to get right to it, my good friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please tell us.
So for the past now nearly 2 months, we have been covering quite extensively the death of Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. And at the outset, when the Palestinian coroner conducted his autopsy of Abu Akleh, his conclusion was that it was inconclusive to determine who was responsible for firing the fatal shot that killed the Al Jazeera journalist. Now, unfortunately, war correspondents know that when you go into a situation of intense firing, intense exchanges of fire, this is a notable risk. And sometimes, tragically, journalists pay with their lives. And I just want to, at the outset, before I report back on today's findings, just extend our condolences to the Abu Akleh family. Now, over the 2 months, Israel has been engaged not just in investigations to try and find out who was responsible for firing the fatal shot, but also in a war of narratives. As we know, this inevitably happens when networks, when news channels are covering Israel. So for the past now nearly 2 months, Israel has said that we have been conducting our own internal investigations, not a criminal investigation, because we don't believe that there was any criminal intent, but more of an operational investigation. On the Palestinian side, we have had a battle with the Palestinians to hand over the fatal bullet that was responsible for ending her life. The Palestinians, of course, managed to gain the upper hand with the narrative. And what we saw was channels like CNN, the New York Times, Al Jazeera, and various others laying the blame squarely at Israel. This is until this past weekend, when the bullet was handed by the Palestinians over to investigators in the United States, or American investigators. Today, an investigation was carried out at the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. Now, we still don't know who led the investigation. Was it led by Israelis? Was it led by the United States? It is likely that this was led by the United States. And the bullet has been handed back to Palestinian authorities. However, the U.S. today has confirmed they received the bullet that was alleged to have killed Abu Akleh. It remained under the custodianship of Lieutenant General Michael R. Fenzel until it was returned after an examination was conducted. Now, the conclusions reached by this investigation is that it is inconclusive to tell who exactly was responsible. The bullet was damaged in such a way that nobody could reach a definitive conclusion, which takes us back to where we were a month and a half ago with the Palestinian coroner. Now, the American State Department has said that it is likely it could have been Israelis or the IDF, but definitely not intentional. Now, Israel has taken exception to that statement. We have said that we will continue to conduct investigations and internal investigation. This is what our chief of staff, Aviv Kochavi, has said in the last couple of minutes. But we do take exception to that conclusion, because the only thing conclusive is that it is inconclusive who is responsible for that. And we have had some news channels, Associated Press, CNN, of course, rushing out with a headline saying that the U.S. says that Israel is likely to have killed Abu Akleh, although the ballistics testing says it's inconclusive. So just to reiterate, the only thing we know is that it is still inconclusive who killed Abu Akleh as per the ballistics results. We have heard from our minister of defense, Benny Gantz, who released a statement. He says, during this operational event, like in many others, hundreds of bullets were fired at IDF troops, which responded with firepower of their own, only in the direction of the sources of the shooting. The first to bear responsibility in such events are the terrorists who operate from within population centers. It is not possible to determine the source of the shooting, and as such, the investigation will continue. The defense establishment is committed to uncovering the truth. This includes decisions regarding force build-up, operations, investigations, and cooperations with partners, such as this cooperation with our U.S. partners, in order to uncover the truth. Of course, we have also heard from organizations like B'Tselem, which say they are a human rights organization, highly critical of Israel. They have criticized the U.S. for saying that Abu Akleh was killed as a result of tragic circumstances. They want to lay the blame squarely at the foot of Israel. They say, as far as Israel is concerned, its policy regarding the killing of Palestinians has been nothing, has never been anything other than organized whitewash. And just to reiterate, B'Tselem are a human rights organization whose mandate is basically to call into question the behavior of the IDF. So can they be impartial? Highly unlikely. But this is where we are sitting at the moment. And again, I reiterate, the only conclusion is that it is still inconclusive who exactly was responsible for firing the fatal shot that killed Shireen Abu Akleh. The bullet was far too damaged to draw conclusive determinations, and this is where we are. But what we can conclude from this is that when it comes to covering the news around Israel, the media is quick to rush to conclusions without substantive evidence. And it is up to us as media consumers to start holding them more responsible.
And Prime Minister Lapid gave his first speech as Prime Minister on Saturday night. And what were some of the key points of that?
Well, as we spoke about at the end of last week, the handover between former Prime Minister Bennett to now interim Prime Minister Yair Lapid took place on Thursday, and following Shabbat on Saturday evening, Prime Minister Lapid was able to give his first speech as Prime Minister. He started off by thanking Naftali Bennett. He says, for your decency, for your friendship, and for leading the government this past year to economic and security achievement not seen here for years. He went on to say the state of Israel is bigger than all of us and more important than any of us. It was here before us and it will be here long after us. And even though there are disagreements, it's okay to disagree. It's okay to have divergent opinions as long as it doesn't undermine the stability of the government and damage our internal resilience. As long as that we can still maintain a Jewish, democratic, liberal, strong, advanced and prosperous Israel. He went on to talk about the ties of the Jewish people to Israel go back before 1948, but rather to when Joshua crossed the Jordan River and entered the Promised Land. He went on to laud the Abraham Accords that Israel has signed with the UAE, Bahrain, Egypt, and Morocco, and went on to say that it is a great blessing with the agreements yet to come. So whether he is hinting that something big is coming, we can only hope. He also went on to give a warning to factions like Iran, like terrorists in the Gaza Strip, saying, don't test us. Israel knows how to use its strength against every threat, against every enemy, and that we will defend ourselves by ourselves, which is a very important point. Can Israel stand alone should the need arise to defend herself by herself? And then he went on to talk about internal divisions and those who wanted to test the coalition government. And some are seeing this as perhaps a veiled dig at former Prime Minister Netanyahu, who will be his greatest adversary moving forward. But this has largely been seen as a very conciliatory speech and a very balanced and rational speech from the man who now has to prove for the next couple of months that he is worthy of holding on to the office of the Prime Minister.
And a question for you, Ronin, from Austin Gibbs. Hi, Gary. The damaged bullet. Did they say the bullet was damaged through the firing thereof or damaged after shooting before handling it afterwards? Any ideas?
No, nothing. All we have is that the bullet was damaged.
So we don't know where or how, yeah.
No.
And back to Prime Minister Lapid, and without naming anyone specifically, and some sort of veiled reference to Netanyahu, what did Lapid say, if anything, that people saw as a reference? And you'll have to give us a very quick answer to this question, really.
Well, he spoke about internal divisions and the fact that there are many who don't believe in the coalition government. And Netanyahu has very much been seen as making it his goal over the last year to topple the government, which now has dissolved and is going into elections. So there were comments when he referred to that. He didn't refer to anybody by name, that this could be a reference to Netanyahu. And we are expecting, as the election race starts to heat up, we are expecting a rebuttal from Netanyahu, is now head of the opposition, who will be Lapid's greatest adversary moving forward. Will it be as conciliatory as Lapid? Who knows? We have to wait and see.
We have to wait and see. Ronin Marks with our Israel report. Thank you, Ronin.